Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us right now certainly one of my favorite guests. That's Don Scott. And Don Scott is from Ontario, for Sudbury, Canada, just outside of Ontario. And we're going to be talking about the diabolical people who create diseases to kill people. Now, that sounds maybe a little harsh or hard for people to believe, but as I begin reading about this new SARS virus, and then you find out that it has no relationship to any pre-existing coronavirus, it certainly is not human, it's not animal, it's a fourth class, it is a type of an organism that just doesn't exist in nature. So where did it come from? Well, they want to tell us, oh, it came from the pig, from the farms where they had all these chickens, and then they gave it to the ducks, and they gave it to the pigs, and then they gave it to the people. And, of course, they have to come up with an excuse. They can't tell you that this is, in all probability, genetically engineered. Now, we don't have anybody on the inside who's going to come forward and say, we create diseases to kill people. But I will tell you that they have done this for many, many years, and that's one of the things that Don has worked on, not only lethal diseases, but many of the incapacitating diseases that have been produced by the scientists who work within the secret laboratories maintained by the CIA. And, of course, they have created psychiatric disease, intentionally created psychiatric disease in people, and that's Operation Bluebird. If you haven't read it, it's well worthwhile reading. And then, of course, Don has a number of books. We'll be talking about some of those. In fact, we carry one of his books called The Extremely Unfortunate Skull Valley Incident. Don Scott, thank you so much for being with us.
Be with you again, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. What's your take on SARS? Do you have at least a very strong suspicion that it's another man-made disease?
Dr. Stan, it's too early for me to say, although with my background, I'm naturally very suspicious. We are following it very closely because Toronto, Canada, is about the fourth major city in incidence of the disease and deaths. We have looked at a number of aspects of the coronavirus and the kind of mutations that could go on and some of the research that was being done on it. And we hope to have an article on it by July 1st, the next issue of our journal. Right now, I won't say, if you don't mind, anything, because, as you know, we try to have a solid scientific statement that could be tested by any scientist anywhere in the world. And we haven't reached that stage yet with SARS. And I was speaking with your able assistant before we came on air about West Nile virus fever. Now there we've been doing a lot more homework, and we know that the coming summer holds promise of great hazard for a lot of people. But we also know this, Dr. Stan, and we'll be sharing this with our readers of the journal in July.
I'm going to have to interrupt you there because we're about to go to a break and bring another station on board. But our guest is Don Scott. We'll be telling you how to get in touch with him. And we're talking about the fact that there really are biological experiments being carried out on human beings right here in America and in Canada. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Don Scott from Sudbury up in Canada. And, of course, we're talking about the fact that there really have been scientists who've been actually creating disease. Now, you say, well, why would anybody do that? Why, it's very simple, because there are evil people in the world. We saw this thing going on in Germany, and many of those German scientists were brought over to the United States, despite the fact they were Nazi war criminals. They were brought over under Operation Paperclip and continued some of the same macabre experiments here in the United States that they'd been doing in Germany. And you say, that couldn't be true. We would know about it if it was true. And no, if it was true, you would not know about it, because they don't want you to any more than they want you to know that Heinrich Mueller, the head of the German Gestapo, was brought here after the Second World War and, of course, employed by the CIA, as were so many of the Nazi scientists who had been responsible for horrible and grotesque studies and experiments on the helpless prisoners in the concentration camps. But it's after that, of course, the government employed scientists to carry out all sorts of horrible and macabre experiments, and Don has certainly looked into that. Why don't you pick up that story?
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And just to finish off on the West Nile virus, which holds promise of hazard for the coming summer, our research has demonstrated something that you've advocated or remarked upon for quite some time now. Way back in 1943, now keep the date in mind, 1943, Dr. Joseph Smedell of the Walter Reed Medical Hospital Research Branch in Washington, D.C., was doing research on the West Nile fever virus to find out what kind of mosquito vectors could be used as carriers of that virus. Now look, here is a virus from the Rift Valley in Africa, which is nowhere near North America. And yet, a military medical scientist in Washington, D.C., in 1943, has some of those virus, and he is experimenting to see what mosquitoes can pick it up from birds or other animals that are infected and carry it to other birds, other animals, and other humans. And here's another key point we've discovered about West Nile.
Don, I'm going to have to interrupt you again. We've got to bring our last station right online here, which we'll be doing in just a moment.
Okay.
All right, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest today is Don Scott from Sudbury, Canada, and we've been talking about the West Nile virus and the fact that back in 1943, there was a medical doctor at Walter Reed Hospital, which is the military hospital in Washington, D.C., who was actually studying, you know, what sort of mosquitoes could carry this. And, of course, why were they doing that back in 1943? Because they were working on biological diseases and the means of warfare, and they've been doing it ever since. And, of course, they've created new diseases. We know that from many of their records and many articles that appeared in the medical journals, and then from a series of reports that were supposed to be destroyed. And that was the special virus cancer reports, and there were about 15 of them, and they were all ordered destroyed in 1973 by the head of the CIA. Now, what does the head of the CIA have to do with the special viral cancer reports made up by scientists employed by the government? Well, they did not want the American people to know what they were doing. So you pick up the story there, Don.
All right. Now, with the West Nile virus fever virus, not only was Dr. Joe Smedell of Washington, D.C. experimenting in 1943, but in 1985, the United States of America, the American-type culture collection in Bethesda, Maryland, which is the facility for the warehousing of all kinds of bacteriological and biological and other disease agents, they had a sufficient inventory of West Nile fever virus to send a supply to none other than Saddam Hussein in Iraq, and it was shipped over to Iraq and Saddam Hussein, and it was shortly after that that there was an outbreak of West Nile fever virus in Israel and in Egypt, and whether there's any link or not, we wouldn't speculate, but we know for a fact that the West Nile virus was shipped not from Africa to America, but from America to Africa.
Or at least just to Asia, you're speaking about.
Pardon me, to
Central Asia, right.
East, west, west, east. But the point is that people say, well, gosh, there was no West Nile virus in North America until 1999, when in New York State and Connecticut, there was an outbreak, and it's been spreading ever since. And we're certainly between a rock and a hard place, because in order to battle so-called the West Nile virus, there's a very strong advocacy group in government and in the pharmaceutical manufacturing to use heavy pesticides all over North America this coming summer to battle the mosquito virus that Joe Smedell was experimenting with. And the problem with that is, in the progress report of the Special Virus Cancer Program reports that you were speaking about, in progress report number 9, it states that, on page 39, it states that certain pesticides can alter the physiological endocrine balance of a person breathing them in, hence lowering their immune system and making them potentially more subject to other opportunistic diseases such as retroviral diseases, and in that category, of course, is so-called HIV.
And of course, I would say that is maybe one of the reasons why the head of the CIA, and I believe it was 1973, and you have that exact quotation in your book on the unusual Skull Valley incident, the head of the CIA orders all the copies of these reports shredded. Why did he want to destroy them?
There is a very important point to make there. He ordered the ones destroyed up until progress report number 9. Reports 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 came out after the Watergate fiasco and the order from Richard Helms to Gottlieb to destroy the ones previously to that. However, the ones which came out subsequently, although they were more sanitized, there is still a tremendous amount of very important evidence which demonstrates to us anyway, beyond a question, that the AIDS epidemic and the chronic fatigue epidemics of North America and the world had their origins in basically American laboratories with the cooperation of some Canadian, some British, and some Australian researchers.
Of course, I was just this last weekend in preparation for a newsletter I'm writing, was going over Dr. Strecker's material, and shortly after the AIDS epidemic came, it was in the mid-1980s, why he began talking about this was a man-made virus, and he had so many references from government, from the World Health Organization, even an article that was published on the front page of the London Times, written by the science editor of the London Times, and of course saying, that this was a man-made virus that was put in the vaccines used in Africa. Not one word of that got in the media in the United States, but all throughout the world. But because of the control of the media in the United States, you never saw that. I think it was March 11th, 1987 article republished here. And the question is, how can you suppress something like that? I mean, whether it's true or not, you would think it would be there, it would be discussed. But of course, shortly thereafter that, Dr. Strecker's brother died under perhaps strange circumstances. And of course, few people even remember who Dr. Strecker was. And yet, going back and listening to what he said, and of course, the fact that there had been testimony before the House Appropriations Committee, which we have and we make available to our listeners, and will be quoted in my next newsletter, where Dr. MacArthur, testifying in 1969, was talking about their ability to create diseases that, of course, would be not responsible to any of the therapeutic or immunological response of the human body. And some people thought it might be a bad idea to create these new diseases because it would be another means of mass killing. But if you just give us $10 million, we can do it. And we said we can do it in 5 years, and 6 years later we saw the first cases of AIDS. And we have that testimony. If anybody wants to see that, I'll send you a couple of pages right from that House Appropriations Committee. And I know you have that available as well, don't you, Don?
Yes, we do, Dr. Stan.
In fact, you've written a book, and you have so many of these things in there.
Well, we have been at it since 1995, full-time, every day, almost all day, even holidays. I sometimes joke with my family that when we have a Christmas get-together, and there'll be numbers of my extended family, and it's quite an extensive family. I've got 8 children and 14 grandchildren and so on, and they're married and so that sort of thing. But at even such a thing as the Christmas dinner, I will be anxious to talk about these diseases because they are the only thing in current world history to me that matters, because not only is there the epidemic of AIDS and chronic fatigue, the one disease to kill and the other to disable, but of course there's the related degenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Huntington's, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, Crohn's colitis, Wegener's disease, and so on, that have an element of the mycoplasmal infection. Now, that is what was one of the cofactors that these researchers were working on. And when they made that particular agent as infectious and contagious as it now is, not only did it produce as a cofactor in AIDS the well-known symptomology of AIDS, but it also produced the chronic fatigue fibromyalgia presentation, it increased significantly the number of people with Crohn's colitis or Parkinson's or diabetes type 1, and even something like Huntington's. Now, Huntington's, the human immune system for Huntington's is so strong that both the parents of a potential victim have to have a defective Huntington gene in order for the mycoplasmal infective agent to get through that defense. But it's not just the defective genes which allow it through the defense that are important. The fact is that if the agent wasn't increased in infectivity and contagiousness, the numbers of people with those defective genes would not have increased as dramatically as they have in terms of which ones of them come down with Huntington's.
Now, Don, for our listeners there who do not understand the full story, they're going to be a little confused. You're talking about AIDS, then you're talking about mycoplasma.
Yeah.
I think that we need to point out that almost everybody who is in terminal immunodeficiency has not only HIV, they also have a mycoplasma infection. So the two of them go together, and isn't it interesting that the government, the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology, has a patent on that mycoplasm, and it is everything suggests it's genetically engineered, a very special organism. We're going to be talking more about that when we get back with Don Scott, and we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Why would anybody want to do things like that? Why would a vehicle of mass killing? There are too many people in the world, and whether you want to accept it or not, there really are people who feel that way. And it's about time you recognize that there really are evil and wicked people in the world, because you can't understand anything going on until you understand that fact.
Yes.
Don, we're going to go to a break.
Okay.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. This is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention that if you feel run down, if you feel that you need more energy, have you ever considered taking Be Alive Royal Jelly? Now, I've taken this for about 10 years on my own and along with my family. We've been very, very satisfied with it, and recently, why, the Be Alive people approached us and asked if we'd like to have them sponsor us for a month. So we certainly agreed to that because we think it's a great product, and I think you will too. Let me suggest that you call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. The product is sold with a money-back guarantee. So give them a call at 1-866-233-7500 and simply ask to learn more about Be Alive Royal Jelly. I think that you'll be very, very satisfied with this product. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to mention that there's going to be a conspiracy conference over in Santa Clara on Memorial Day weekend. That's May 24th, May 25th. But let me tell you that there's going to be people from all points of view. Everybody knows over there on the left or the right that there is some sort of a conspiracy out there, but they would differ in what the conspiracy is about. So you're going to see a cross-section of people looking for answers, and I hope that there will be a lot of people coming from the Christian point of view wanting to understand what this is about. Now, Jim Mars is going to be there, who's written a number of books. His Crossfire sold a million copies. His Rule by Secrecy sold a 500,000 copies. His latest book was so good that HarperCollins refused to publish it, paid him for the book, and gave him the rights back, but will not publish his book. So Jim Mars, an amazing individual. I think you'll enjoy him. And again, if you'd like to go to the conference, the telephone number, 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. And then we hope many of you will want to be setting up in your community an institute on the Constitution so you can teach your friends and neighbors about the Christian history of America and the foundations of our freedom, which is our Constitution. This is a 12-part program, 12 programs, half-hour, hour programs, going to the foundation of our freedom. Call 410-760-6759. That's 410-760-6759. And ask about the Institute of the Constitution. And then, of course, we just want to mention Miracle 2 soap products, which we sell. We use them. We've used them for some time before we ever actually offered them. And you can get them by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. A soap, a moisturizing soap, a neutralizer, which some people say is very, very good for epigastric de-stress. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course our special guest is Don Scott, and we're talking about the fact that there really have been wicked and evil people who've created new diseases. In fact, in Africa today, the gorillas are dying off in large numbers. They're dying of Ebola. Now, if Ebola's been around for all these thousands and thousands of years, why didn't all the gorillas die a long time ago? Because Ebola has not been around until very, very recently. And, of course, the first cases that were ever found of this were in Marburg, Germany. They called it Marburg virus. They came from laboratory monkeys shipped from American corporations to Marburg to make the polio virus in. The only outbreak we ever had of Ebola was here in the United States in laboratory monkeys. Isn't that strange? But now, of course, it's been turned loose in the wild. It's killing the gorillas over there. Where did it come from? Well, you have to understand they have the ability to create new diseases. And if you get these very special cancer virus reports, and unfortunately, or maybe fortunately for history, why they didn't do a very good job of shredding all those reports up to number 9, and several of them are available through Don and Don's ministry and elsewhere, and we can talk about that if you want to get them. Don has gone through them, believe me, tedium, they are difficult to read, but the information is there, the information they don't want Americans or the American people to know. So pick up the story there, Don.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, and I'd like to mention to you on air for the first time, this is a public statement of something new. Our foundation is launching what we call the Sudbury Study. Now, this is being launched on May the 1st of this year, and it's being launched simultaneously in Canada, the United States, Great Britain, Australia, and Kenya. And what the Sudbury Study consists of is this. We know from our scientific evidence that not only was AIDS and chronic fatigue and Ebola and other diseases like those developed in laboratories, principally in the U.S., but the one of the principal cofactors that you mentioned, the pathogenic mycoplasma on which the U.S. government holds a patent, this particular agent used to occur naturally in very, very rare instances. However, their experimentation made the pathogenic mycoplasma much more contagious and much more infective, and as a result, the diseases that are known as the degenerative diseases, AIDS leading the way, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, Alzheimer's, bipolar depression, new variant brucellosis, which of course includes fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue or myalgic encephalitis, diabetes type 1, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, dystonia, endometriosis, Huntington's, lupus, Lyme disease, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, rheumatoid arthritis and schizophrenia, all are on the increase because a factor in those diseases is the pathogenic mycoplasma. And what we are going to be doing over the year from May 1st of 2003 to May 1st, 2004, we're conducting a study of people who have any of these diseases. And if you would like yourself or a family member to participate in the study, write and ask for the information. I'll be sending it to Dr. Stan in full detail, of course. But the study will give us and give you the evidence you need to establish the fact that you have in the background of your health problem an infection with a mycoplasma, which we believe is the Mycoplasma fermentans.
And you know, it's so interesting. When I went to medical school, all influenza was produced by viruses. Now, 25% of it is produced by mycoplasma. Most of the people who have amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, have this. In fact, I think Dr. Nicholson has said that every one of the Gulf War victims who has amyotrophic lateral sclerosis has a mycoplasma infection.
Right on.
And, of course, the American people are not being told this. Most doctors don't know this. And, of course, Dr. Nicholson is really one of the great scientists of modern times. He was forced out of his tenured position at the MB Anderson Clinic because he was looking into the mycoplasma infection. And when several of the people working with him died under very mysterious circumstances, he left and came to California. Could this go on in America? Ladies and gentlemen, you need to get the book, The Dead Witnesses, about the 100 people who died who looked into the Kennedy assassination. And I think it's so vitally important you understand that your future, your family, your freedom are really under attack today.
Well,
wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention a couple of the other products we carry here. Of course, we mentioned earlier the Miracle 2 soap products, and there's a special introductory offer, and you can get that by calling 1-800-544-8927. I can tell you we sell an awful lot of that, and it really helps us as far as staying on the air. We also now are carrying the Big Berkey products, and these are water filters. There's the Big Berkey. The design has been used for 150 years with ceramic filters. It's made out of stainless steel. It's very attractive. And, of course, it'll filter out bacteria and cryptosporidium and most of the chlorine and most of the minerals, pardon me, not the minerals, but the toxic substances which are in your water. And people who have Big Berkeys say that they use them on a regular basis just because they water tastes so good, but in times like this, it's very, very important that you have access to a means of filtering water. What would happen if the water went out? Could you want to drink the water out of the river or the pond? Well, here's something that will filter river and pond water, and this is the sort of thing the missionaries used all throughout the world. Now, these are ordinarily $279. We sell them for $239 plus shipping, and if you buy them to us, we give you a video or free 4-tape set that we produced. These are sold, the Big Berkey is sold in every state but California and Iowa, but there is a product that is available in every state but Iowa, and that's called the Berkey Light, and we got one of those for ourselves. Instead of being stainless steel, it's clear, bulletproof glass makes this up and it won't shatter on you. You can see the water levels. A different type of filter, they're called the Black Berkey. Much more efficient, but they're a little slower and they have to be replaced every couple of years. They are $199, and of course you get the Berkey Light, and you get the same deal with that. So give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we've got Don Scott on the line. And Don, go ahead, pick up this story. You were talking about the mycoplasma, and really, of course, this it really is so much more prevalent, and there certainly is an evidence or much to suggest that this has been genetically modified, isn't it?
Oh, very much so, and it's very, very interesting to note things that, of course, the average American listener won't be aware of. You may know, for example, that Robert Gallo called the so-called AIDS-causing pathogen HIV, human immunodeficiency virus. But what a lot of your listeners won't know is that that so-called HIV had been discovered in France by Dr. Luc Montagnier some months before. And Dr. Montagnier, when he discovered it, he called it lymphadenopathy-associated virus. In other words, LAV. LAV, lymphadenopathy-associated virus. And he made the mistake of sending a sample of it to Dr. Gallo in the United States. And then Dr. Gallo's lab mysteriously and surprisingly discovered the same thing. and instead of calling it LAV, which gives away the fact that it is a virus associated with the lymph nodes and the adenoids in the human being, and is also associated with the Vizsla virus of sheep, Dr. Gallo wanted to call it, first of all, HTLV-3, which is human T-cell leukemia virus.
That's because he had found HTLV-1 and HTLV-2, which would create leukemia in hairy cell leukemia in human beings.
And then when he realized that they, even that name gave too much away, and he was sued by Luc Montagnier and the French government for stealing the HIV, so-called. And Montagnier came to the United States to pursue the suit in court, and the U.S. government persuaded them to get together and work out a compromise where they would both share in the profits, and they would call it HIV instead of lymphadenopathy-associated virus, or instead of HTLV-3. But the point is that what Dr. Montagnier was finding was a viral particle from the Vizsla virus of sheep. And the genetic codon of Vizsla virus is almost 100% identical to that of HIV. But that is just background of how these people, Doctors Gallo and Merrigan and Koprowski and all the rest of them, manipulated naturally occurring disease agents to make them much more dangerous.
Well, could you explain to our listeners how they manipulated them? Because people don't understand. First of all, they had these animal viruses that create disease, and then they grew them in human cell lines so that then they could infect human beings. And now we have animal viruses that could never infect human beings ordinarily, but now we can get them to infect them. And that's what they were really doing, was creating diseases that would infect human beings with cancer viruses or other types of virus that would do terrible things to human beings. Why would anybody want to do anything like that unless you understand that they were trying to create new diseases that, of course, would be decimate the population?
Yes, and as to explaining to the listeners how they did it, the science is very, very, very complicated, and I am absolutely mind-boggled every time I try to tackle some of it. But in broad outline, what they would do, of course, is take one of the disease agents that they were interested in, such as the Vizsla virus from sheep, which causes the brain of the sheep to dissolve into mush, and which, if that diseased brain and spinal column is fed to cows, gives the cows mad cow disease, and which, if the cows so infected are made into Hamburg and fed to teenagers, the teenagers get Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, where their brain turns into mush, and it's the same disease as is called Kuru in New Guinea, where a tribe of people in New Guinea by the name of the Four Tribe all suddenly came down in the late 1950s, the early 1950s, with this Creutzfeldt-Jakob variation. The disease agents taken from the sheep scientifically in this passage through certain other animal vectors such as horses, cats, and chickens. And at the same time, they took a disease agent, which they called the adenoviral agents. Thomas Merrigan was one of them, but Robert Huebner was the main researcher here. He discovered that when the human individual is subject to chronic pneumonia, that they had diseased adenoids, and that the diseased adenoids were diseased and falling apart because they contained the mycoplasma. And they were able to extract the mycoplasma from diseased adenoids and passage it through other animals. So they had two factors. One, the disease agent, the mycoplasma, which alters the immune system, and another from sheep, the Vizsla virus, which causes the brain to fall into mush. And they were able to put these two together in a vaccine for smallpox and feed it to people all over the world and create the AIDS epidemic. They were able to introduce the disease from the mycoplasma by way of air conditioning systems and food chain infections and by mosquito vectors, as you know from the Dr. MacArthur's testimony of June 9, 1969. He spoke of using the mosquito vector to carry this particular agent.
But of course, now these were different diseases. The one that was communicated, the mycoplasm, communicated to the air. A lot of this then led to the chronic fatigue, which
yes.
is different than AIDS. They all both have the mycoplasm, but the other one has the HIV
yes.
component to it.
The one that causes chronic fatigue is the one which. Alters the physiological endocrine balance so that the cellular and humoral defense system is let down, and then the one that causes the brain to turn to mush, the Vizsla virus, is the one then which causes AIDS, dementia, and with the immune system down and other things like cancers and Kaposi's sarcoma and so on can affect the individual. But going back to our Sudbury study, any person listening who has or himself or herself or has a relative who has any of these diseases, if you would like to participate in our study, which we are confident from the scientific evidence we have gathered, we will establish within a year from May the 1st, we will establish whether or not we're right that this mycoplasmal infection is in the background of all of these diseases, and if you treat that, you treat your disease. Now, can I give you one example, Dr. Stan?
Sure, go ahead.
Just a couple of months ago, a lady who operates a facility, it is a hyperbaric oxygen treatment center, she asked me if I would meet with a client of hers who had been diagnosed 12 years ago with multiple sclerosis. Now, all of you folks who have multiple sclerosis, listen to this. And I said I would be happy to meet with this individual. So I met with him, and here's his story. He was a teacher in an Ontario high school, and he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and it progressed very rapidly, and he was put into a wheelchair, and he had to give up teaching, and he was put on to a pension from the teacher's pension plan, and he was preparing himself to die when somebody said to him, you know, you should see Dr. So-and-so. Now, I don't want to give the doctor's name for reasons that will become obvious in a minute. He is doing great work with a couple of people with multiple sclerosis, so he went to this doctor, and the doctor said to him, I don't accept this term, multiple sclerosis. What does the term mean? It means many scars. Now, what do many scars tell you about a disease? He said, what you're actually suffering from, according to my studies, and this is the doctor talking years ago about the same thing we're talking about now, he said, what you're suffering from is brucellosis in your brain. Cerebral brucellosis. And he says, I'm going to treat you not using the protocols of the Canadian or the Ontario College of Physicians and Surgeons for multiple sclerosis. I'm going to treat you for brucellosis. And he did so. And we know what he used. And the guy began to improve so much that he gave up his wheelchair, he started playing golf, started playing tennis, and so on. Now, I met him last January, and he's as healthy as a horse, and he hasn't been sick since that point. But the doctor who had treated him had made a report about how his success, how he was successful with this individual, and instead of being praised for it, this doctor was told by the College of Physicians and Surgeons in Ontario, you are not allowed to diagnose this as cerebral brucellosis. Other doctors have diagnosed it as multiple sclerosis, and that's what you have to abide by, and you have to use the protocol, treatment protocols set out by the college. And if you persist in saying cerebral brucellosis and treating them that way, then you will be disciplined. Well, I met the guy, and believe me, Dr. Stan, as I say, he's healthier than I am. And I then said, well, I want to meet this doctor. So he gave me the doctor's name, and the lady in charge of the clinic got hold of the doctor's office, and the doctor wouldn't even talk to us. He's so afraid of losing his license.
Now, for our listeners out there, you must understand there's a relationship between mycoplasma and brucellosis. At least that's Don's contention, that they have the just a fraction of the brucellosis bacteria is associated with mycoplasma. Is that your contention, Don?
Yes. Well, you see, if you take the little one-celled animal called the Brucella bacterium, it has a DNA. It's happy to reproduce. It's just like human beings. Give them a chance to reproduce, and boy, will they go to it. But if something kills the bacteria, it's dead. However, a particle of its DNA wants to keep on living. And that degenerated form of bacterial DNA is called the Mycoplasma fermentans. The genomic sequence is identical between Brucella abortus and the Mycoplasma fermentans.
Now, in other words, this portion of the Brucella you're talking about, not the whole Brucella.
Not the whole Brucella. It's not the one-celled little animal. It's long since gone and dead.
And wasn't this actually identified by George Merck during the Second World War?
Yes, there is a reference in U.S. government documents where George Merck reports to the Secretary of Defense that in 1946, he says, we have managed to isolate for the first time the disease principle. Now, he didn't know what it was he was working with, but he knew it was the part of the bacteria that caused disease. He said, we have managed to isolate the disease principle in crystalline form. And we can take this crystalline form, a salt shaker full of this pure, pure disease, and the bacteria, the rest of it's all thrown away. So people have mycoplasmal infections, or Brucella infections, with no sign of the bacteria. That's been done away with. And it went on from Dr. Merck's 1946 announcement through Dr. Robert Huebner's experimentation with naval recruits who were getting chronic pneumonia, and he traced it to the adenoids, and he found in the degenerating adenoids the mycoplasma. He didn't know it was a mycoplasma when he found it. He called it the PPLO, pleural pneumonia-like organism. And it was a couple of years later that Leonard Hayflick and some others said, hey, Bob, that's not a PPLO, that's a mycoplasma. And the mycoplasma can be derived from the Brucella bacteria. So if we take these millions of gallons of Brucella that we're manufacturing, and if we isolate the disease principle in crystalline form, and we put it through air conditioning systems, and we put it into contaminated goat's milk, or we contaminate mosquitoes, which we did here in Canada. You know, I've told the story before that when this was discovered, the U.S. government said to the government of Canada, hey, buddy, would you help us out in this? And the government of Canada says, yes, what do you want us to do? And they said, look, we have developed this disease agent in crystalline form, and if we reduce it to infinitely fine dust, will you contaminate mosquitoes with it and make them available to the Canadian and British and American military for testing? And Canada agreed to do that. And in Belleville, Ontario, Canada, the government of Canada established the Dominion Parasite Laboratory and began breeding 100 million mosquitoes a month. They then transferred these mosquitoes to Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And Dr. Reed, head of biology, supervised the contamination of these mosquitoes with this disease agent. And then he turned them over to the Canadian military, who shared them with the American military and with the British military. And each of these three militaries would test them in isolated towns in Florida or Georgia. They seemed to like southern states for some reason.
Don, we're going to have to get your address out, because it's just about out of time, and we could go on for another couple of hours, and we'll get you back on the evening program very soon. But let's go ahead and get your address out so people can get in touch with you and get your information.
All right. Well, this is for the Sudbury Study. Ladies and gentlemen, let's put an end to these diseases. Just send a letter to Study, S-T-U-D-Y, Study, Box 133. Station B as in Bob, Sudbury, Canada, and the zip code is P as in Peter, 3, E as in Edward, 4, N as in Norman, 5.
All right, fine. Now, if you didn't get that telephone number, you can call here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We'll give it to you again. Study, Box 133, Station B, Sudbury, Canada, P3E. 4 and 5. Don, thank you so much. God bless you. And we'll get you back again real soon.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye.
God bless you and
bye-bye.
Your listeners.
Could you believe that there is an organized effort to dumb down children all across America as we see falling SAT scores? It's very easy to say, well, gee, we need to just spend more money. That'll solve our problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't solve the problem at all, because there is an organized program within the hierarchy of education to dumb down our children intentionally. Outcome-Based Education is a fascinating book written by Pamela Hobbs Hofker and Pat Lutzik, going into the background of the program of the humanists who gained control of the educational establishment in the United States to change the attitude of our children, to change their attitude towards God and family and country. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for Outcome-Based Education. Once you understand what they're doing to your children, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just get that address for Don Scott. We'll give that when we get back. Let me mention that there's a wonderful book. It's called Osler's Web. It's the story of the chronic fatigue syndrome. It's the most exciting, one of the most fascinating books I've ever read. You have a hard time putting it down. We had a hard time getting copies, but they are available in paperback. It's Osler's Web. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. It's the story of the chronic fatigue syndrome and how the government did everything they could to prevent coming up with an understanding or treatment of this terrible disease that infects between 800,000 and 1 million Americans. That's Osler's Web, available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we have 4 tape sets on the chronic fatigue syndrome, which you really need to get, 4 tape sets on AIDS, the unnecessary epidemic. You need to understand that they've created diseases. Why? Well, you need to get our population control 4 tape set and find out that there really are people who want to kill off most of the population. Go to my website, radioliberty.com, and look at the part about the Georgia Guidestones. Pull down my population control agenda monograph. It's radioliberty.com, and understand what motivates these people. They look at the world through different eyes than you and I do, and people must understand there truly is evil in the world. So again, the number, if you'd like to get the 4-tape set on chronic fatigue, the 4-tape set on AIDS, the 4-tape set on genocide, the 4-tape set on why do we still have cancer, the 4-tape set certainly on population control, or the video on population control, or the population control agenda special, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me get Don Scott's address out one more time. That's Study, just Study, Box 133, Station B, Sudbury, that's S-U-D-B-U-R-Y, Canada, P for Peter, 3, E for Edward, 4, N for Nancy, 5. And let me suggest that if you would like to learn more about the study that he's putting together, and to try to get to the background of how they've introduced these new diseases into our society, and of course, they're terrible diseases with terrible tragedies, and yet some of these diseases may well be treatable if you have the chronic mycoplasma infection, especially the genetically created and produced mycoplasma. Don has a wonderful book. He actually, in that book, you can ask him about it. He has a copy of the patent that the government holds on the genetically created mycoplasma. Isn't that interesting? And pointing out it's found in AIDS cases and chronic fatigue and chronic fibromyalgia. Would anybody be that evil? And ladies and gentlemen, there is evil in the world. We don't talk about it in churches anymore. We don't talk about it on the radio. We like to think of that. That all ended with Adolf Hitler. But nobody wants to really talk about who financed Adolf Hitler. In fact, that brings to me to my new video. It's called Iraq, the Untold Story, Prelude to World War III. And it comes either by itself or you can get it with a syllabus. And I suggest you get both of them together at especially reduced price, because the syllabus will give you all the documentation. You'll actually see the article that was published on the day the Japanese signed the surrender at Pearl Harbor, on the Missouri to end the war, talking about how the Japanese have been trying to surrender for 7 months, and the invasion of Okinawa and of Iwo Jima and the dropping of the bombs wasn't important. We just got the article, a great copy of the article now, from the Chicago Tribune. So that's an article, August of 1945, and you'll get that in the syllabus. And, of course, there's so many other things. That's the video, Iraq, the Untold Story.